I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy you are with us this morning. And, you know, we are 2 weeks out from Election Day. November 5th is going to decide so many important issues in this country. And obviously here in the state of Missouri, the big issue, I think the biggest issue on the ballot in Missouri is Amendment 3. It's the reproductive health care or abortion on demand amendment, depending on how you look at it. And a lot of people are probably going to be, I would think, Kim, driven to the polls maybe on that issue.
Yeah, I think there are people who could go just simply so they can vote for that who may not participate in elections typically. And it's this very polarizing issue. And I think there's a lot of people who have the mindset, even if they're regular listeners of this show, who might say, well, you know, I don't support abortion. I wouldn't get an abortion myself, but I think it's okay for other women to do so.
Yeah. So we wanted to have a debate here on 97.1 between people other than, you know how Kim and I feel about it, obviously, but we wanted to let some people come in with a different point of view. And this morning we have a former Missouri Senator Jeff Smith, who of course now is the executive director of the Missouri Workforce Housing Association. Jeff, welcome in.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Good morning.
It's great to have you. Great to have you back. Brian Westbrook joining us. He's the executive director and founder of Coalition Life. Welcome back.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's great. Great to have you guys in here. You know, obviously, we will step back here a little bit and let you two debate this issue. But I mean, I guess first and foremost, this has been such a hot topic for so many years. It kind of got blown up when Roe v. Wade got tossed out by the Supreme Court 2 years ago. Now, clearly had an impact on the midterms in 2022. The question is, what kind of an impact and turnout is it going to have this year? So I guess, Jeff, why don't we start with you? What's your take now on Amendment 3 this year?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the polling suggests that it's likely to pass right now. There are a lot of younger women in particular who seem to be motivated to go to the polls. I've knocked on thousands of doors this election cycle, and this is certainly a top of mind issue in St. Louis County for a lot of women. I think there are some younger men that are pretty interested in the issue, too. Most Democratic messaging has traditionally targeted women on this, but you know, a lot of young men who are sexually active have to realize that this issue has implications for them as well. And I think some are kind of realizing that. So my gut is that, you know, it passes. It probably boosts Democratic turnout in a couple of the big counties. But of course, there's going to be a countervailing impact in a lot of rural areas that are more heavily pro-life, where you're probably going to have people, you know, who are particularly energized to vote on the other side. But if I had to bet, I would say it probably passes by 7 or 8 votes.
Wow. 7 or 8%?
7 or 8%, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Brian, your thoughts?
Well, I think this constitutional amendment, Amendment 3, is clearly a destruction of all reproductive health from top to bottom. It's not necessarily an abortion issue. And the other side wants to make it an abortion issue with regards to only the cases of rape, incest, and these kind of rare cases, or even just first trimester abortions. But I think we need to dive really deep into Amendment 3 to see that it is a sex change operation for minors without their parents' knowledge or consent. And it also eliminates all malpractice protections for all reproductive health care, from hysterectomies to normal childbirths to C-sections. It removes all protections for all reproductive health. And I think we should all agree that that's not good for Missouri, is, you know, kind of camouflaging this thing as being, you know, just abortion with regards to the first trimester. And instead, I think we should really understand that this is more about, you know, destroying our reproductive health care systems and protections.
Yeah, the language is pretty plain. It talks specifically about reproductive health care. If you're, you know, there's an old kind of axiom in politics that says, you know, if and actually in law as well. You know, if you've got the law on your side, you argue the law. If you've got the facts on your side, you argue the facts. If you don't have either, you know, pound the table. This is an area where I think a lot of people are kind of trying to distract from what's actually in the text of the amendment. The text of the amendment is about reproductive health care. It says that up until viability, no one can regulate reproductive health care. It doesn't say anything about sex change operations. That's totally irrelevant. But of course, because the polling is showing that the pro Amendment 3 side is up, the other side is trying to kind of blow up these other things that are actually popular, right? If you asked 100 Missourians, how do you feel about sex changes for minors without parental consent? Probably 85 of the 100 would say, I'm against that, maybe 90%. So it's a convenient issue that advantages the other side that they're trying to make Amendment 3 about, but Amendment 3 has nothing to do with that. And the text of the amendment is clear. It's focused on reproductive health care, and that is it.
Well, let's take a look at the text, shall we? So the text reads, a person has a fundamental right to reproductive freedom, which is the right to carry out decisions about all matters related to reproductive health, including but not limited to. And it lists a bunch of other things in there, such as respectful birthing conditions, whatever respectful birthing conditions are. And so there's no other boundaries inside of this actual piece of text. It says all matters related to reproductive health care, including but not limited to. Well, so there's nothing else in Missouri law that specifically talks about this. So I went to federal law. And so there's something called the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances, which is called the FACE Act, signed into law by a Democrat in 1994. They, at federal law, define reproductive health services, meaning reproductive health services provided in a hospital, clinic, physician's office, or facility that includes medical, surgical, counseling, referral services related to the human reproductive system, related to the reproductive system. And so removing whether it's testicles, ovaries, hysterectomies, or even the breast, even in my high school biology book, it said that these things are, quote, related to the human reproductive system. I don't know how anyone could say that removing your ovaries is not related to reproductive health care systems.
First of all, no Missouri court has ever ruled that reproductive health care involves sex changes. And so this is, again, as you could probably hear, this is a wild stretch trying to bring in things that have nothing to do with the plain text of this amendment. The reason for the amendment, the impetus for the amendment, is to try to ensure that Missouri doesn't see things like we've seen in other states, like in Georgia, like in Texas, like in Idaho, women who are literally bleeding out and in some cases have actually died because the abortion laws have become so restrictive in many states that physicians are nervous about getting prosecuted for a felony and thrown in prison if they help a woman who is literally, like, bleeding to death. If they extract that tissue from her when a woman is having a miscarriage. Again, there are documented examples of this that not a left-wing, you know, organ has covered, but the Associated Press, the AP, has covered this happening in different states around the country. So people want to ensure, supporters of Amendment 3 want to ensure that physicians aren't put in a terrible position where they have to wait until a woman's life is literally on the line before they can assist in the completion of basically, you know, what is often a miscarriage or a dilation and curettage, performing a dilation and curettage procedure.
Yeah, so I think the miscarriage lie is just complete and utter false. You know, we look at Amber Thurman, the case that Kamala mentioned. The other presidential candidate, right? So we can look at this case, and this is called malpractice, all right? If here in the state of Missouri, and frankly, all 50 states, if they're not treated for miscarriage, that's called malpractice. In fact, Amendment 3 removes all malpractice protections, including ectopic pregnancies and miscarriage. It says here in paragraph 5 here, nor shall any person assisting a person exercising their right to reproductive freedom with that person's consent be penalized, prosecuted, or otherwise subjected to adverse action. Now, it actually says miscarriage care up at the top. So miscarriage care meaning that anyone who is assisting them in miscarriage care couldn't be penalized, prosecuted, or subjected to adverse action. That sounds like we're eliminating malpractice. So let's talk about Amber Thurman in Georgia. She went to North Carolina. And in North Carolina, she was pregnant with twins. And she was originally scheduled for a surgical abortion, but they sent her home with pills. Unfortunately, the FDA has removed all the REMS or the regulations regarding these abortion pills. They're dangerous pills if you don't go back and make sure that the abortion is complete. Well, they didn't do that. She didn't go back. They didn't call her back because the FDA, under the COVID regulations, removed all the REMS and protections for this drug. So she ends up at the emergency room and is sepsis. And at that moment in time, there's nothing in Georgia that says you shouldn't treat her. In fact, that hospital failed her. That's a 2 counts of malpractice. They failed her. And I think it's important for us to realize that miscarriage has nothing to do with abortion. Yes, a DNC is a DNC, but we're talking about a living child versus one who has already died.
So I'm not a physician. I don't think we have any physicians in the room today, but I would trust physicians to make these decisions. There's a reason that I would rather not have 197 people in the state legislature, only one of whom is a physician, making these decisions for families throughout the state. That makes no sense to me. I trust a family and their physician to determine what is in the best interests of that family. And so I think putting physicians in the position where they have to face the specter of potentially getting prosecuted if they have intervened just a little bit too soon before the life of the mother is actually at risk, I think that is in sharp juxtaposition with everything that we know about medical care and everything that we expect when we go to a hospital. Yeah, we shouldn't demand that physicians wait until the last minute. You should be able to go to a physician and get the care that you need and the care that they believe can keep you from being in pain, whereas in dozens and dozens of cases throughout many states that have restrictions similar to those in Missouri, women have been told to go back to the parking lot and wait until their condition gets worse so that physicians don't potentially face prosecution. That just, I think, is barbaric.
Yeah, so I think that's called malpractice. That's malpractice. And I think no one here in the Missouri, no one on the right or left, no one is saying that that's okay. And certainly this amendment does not solve that issue. If they wanted an amendment to specifically solve those specific issues, they could have done that, but they didn't. They didn't do that here, and I think we should vote no on Amendment 3.
Well, we got Brian Westbrook with us, Executive Director, Founder Coalition Life there. Jeff Smith, who's with the Missouri Workforce Housing Association. Gentlemen, let's go to the subject of viability for a minute. And, subsection 4 is something that I know, Brian, I've heard you talk about before, where it talks about the viability issue and how that gets decided at what point in the pregnancy. And maybe I can have you address that first, Brian, and then let Jeff react.
Absolutely. So the viability definition in here is, frankly, garbage, but we'll read it anyways. It says here, fetal viability, they may enact laws regarding fetal viability, provided under no circumstance shall the government deny, interfere with, delay, or otherwise restrict an abortion that is in the, quote, good faith judgment of a treating health care professional. In a sense, the, quote, good faith judgment of a treating healthcare professional, that basically means that the doctor, or frankly, it doesn't even say doctor here. It says healthcare professional. We do provide definitions of healthcare providers in Missouri law, but nowhere does it say healthcare professional. So this could be a phlebotomist, this could be a nurse, it could be anyone related to the related to the healthcare systems in any way, shape, or form, and only in their good faith judgment. So I was driving here, and there was these big speed limit signs as I was driving here, and let's say I decided to drive 90 miles an hour as I came here, and a police officer pulls me over and he says, "Brian, I think you've been speeding." And I said, "I'm sorry, officer. In my good faith judgment, I wasn't speeding." I think that officer would start taking my license away, give me a ticket, these kind of things. And so there's no definition of fetal viability. It's only in the, quote, good faith judgment of the treating healthcare professional. And it doesn't even say doctor here. So I think that's really not a definition whatsoever. In fact, Colleen McNicholas, the head abortionist here in St. Louis, says that many abortions or many pregnancies may never be viable. And they base their viability decision not just on the child, but also on the woman's willingness to carry the child to term.
So just to kind of go back a little bit on the malpractice argument, the amendment literally says that restrictions needed to protect the health and safety of patients are allowed. And laws stating, there's laws on the books stating that doctors provide the best care possible, free from negligence, are going to remain in place. If you go to the doctor to get birth control and they decide to amputate your left foot, you know, you can sue the doctor. And the fact that the Missouri Association of Trial Attorneys, which is one of the most powerful lobbies in the entire state of Missouri, okay, they do not oppose this, is kind of prima facie evidence that this does not completely eliminate the right to sue physicians for malpractice. Because if it did, you would have heard not just a peep from the Missouri Association of Trial Attorneys. They would have been up in arms, you know, because it's not a bread and butter issue for them. But these are, you know, multi-million dollar lawsuits when you have negligence around the delivery or malpractice around the delivery of a child. And they have not said a word in opposition to this. So in terms of viability, you know, again, you're more familiar, Brian. This is your you know, this is what you're doing this election cycle. I am interested in the issue, but not as well versed in some of the details as you are. But again, to me, this is a fundamental issue of trusting patients and physicians to make these decisions together. Less than 1% of all abortions that take place in this country take place in the third trimester after viability. Those are almost always a case of a tragic situation where a child is dying in the womb, or there is a serious health threat to the mother's life. And so no one chooses to be in that situation. It is almost always a tragic situation, and I think we should not be legislating, having a blanket policy about those extremely difficult situations that no family would ever want to find themselves in.
Well, I don't think we should have blanket statements like, nor shall any person be or person assisting a person in exercising the right to reproductive freedom be penalized, prosecuted, or otherwise subjected to adverse action. I don't think we should have blanket statements that say any denial, interference, delay, or restriction on the right to reproductive freedom and shall be presumed invalid unless. So there's another sentence here. You said that they could still enact laws. That's true, with the exception of their autonomous decision making. Well, like every single law on the books in the state of Missouri, and frankly across the nation, violate my autonomous decision making. If I didn't want to wear a seatbelt today, that's my autonomous decision making. And I think it's kind of a red herring here to say somehow, some way that statutes and regulations would survive. This is a constitutional amendment. It trumps statutes and regulations here.
Yeah,
we want to go ahead and wrap up this debate here this morning, but we wanted to give you each about a minute or so. One final push, Jeff, from your perspective, why you think Amendment 3 should pass, why people should vote yes. And of course, Brian, from your standpoint, why you think people should vote no on Amendment 3. So, Jeff, we'll go ahead and start with you.
Yeah, the current regime is just too far for what most Missourians want. If you ask most Missourians, about 2 out of 3 think that the current policy is too restrictive, where you don't even have exceptions for rape and incest. In fact, the Republican nominee for governor, you know, Mike Kehoe, has been on the record for years saying that if legislation came to his desk that provided some exceptions, such as those for rape and incest, the ones that former President Trump even supports, if those were under consideration, then everyone from Mike Kehoe to Donald Trump say that this current regime in Missouri has gone too far and is too restrictive. Amendment 3 is a mechanism to try to get things back to where the median Missouri voter is. And, you know, we can go into the fine print, but we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have Amendment 3 if the 2019 legislation hadn't overreached as much as it had and put Missouri into the same category as Georgia, Texas, Idaho, and some other states where you've seen these barbaric instances of women being forced to wait in parking lots until their life is at stake.
Right. Well, just to say that again, there's no proof whatsoever that it's here in the state of Missouri that women are sitting in parking lots. No proof whatsoever. It's a complete false lie. Also, it does, in fact, involve sex change operations for minors without their parents' knowledge or consent. It clearly says, but not limited to, it also says all matters relating to reproductive health care. But I would challenge you on the polling. Yes, about 2-3 months ago, it was about a 58% yes on this. As people are getting educated week after week after the week, the polls are coming down. The latest internal poll we have is below 50% support on this amendment. And so an educated voter votes no on this. And then to challenge you on the minor things, in fact, if they wanted an amendment that covered some of these early trimester, rape, incest, these kind of smaller things that maybe a lot of people might agree on, they could have done that. Instead, they gave us all 9 months of pregnancy with no parental consent or knowledge with our tax dollars. Vote no on Amendment 3.
All right. Brian Westbrook, Jeff Smith, thank you both for your thoughts this morning.
Thanks for giving us a chance to do this, Mark.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We'll be back with more of the Mark Cox Morning Show in just a minute.
Yeah, and we are going to open up the phone lines as well, 314-241-9797. What's your reaction to the debate? Where are you on Amendment 3? 314-241-9797. We will open up the phone lines when we come back right after this.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. We're getting reports from a number of polling places around the area. I had a friend who was out at Wildwood City Hall. He said there were about 70, that was actually at the Daniel Boone Library. There were about 75 people in line out there, 50 or 60 at Wildwood City Hall. You know, it takes a little while to get through there. Your mother-in-law was out, right?
Yeah, she was saying that a lot of people, including my mother-in-law, they were holding their Mark Cox voter guide, which is really neat. She said the line was out the door through the library.
All right. So I'm sure one of those issues, obviously, they're going to be on the ballot, is Amendment 3. We've opened the phone lines up for the people that listened to our debate just a few minutes ago. I'll just go in order here. Let me get to Kayla, who's holding on right now. Kayla, good morning to you. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. I'm calling from St. Charles.
Oh, excellent. So what's on your mind?
That debate was a little bit triggering just because it's just so common for the people on one side of the Democratic side to say those exact things. I live in a neighborhood with a lot of yes on 3, which is really sad. And I think people are just not realizing what is in the amendment. They're just on one side or the other and thinking this is how I have to vote. And so it's a slippery slope. There's too many things in this amendment that will take rights away or make, you know, just like not to get controversial, but the vaccine things, you know, manufacturers can't be held accountable.
Right.
And that has literally taken away parents' rights to any sort of like malpractice with that. And it's a no-go. Like you turn something in and there's nothing followed up with it. If we go down this route, and someone who doesn't even want an abortion has a tragic ending to a pregnancy or delivery, it's just that that is not safe for any woman. So there's things in here, especially as a parent, that, you know, without consent, we all know how teens are. And, you know, if someone goes in and then I would have no idea, you know, if my daughter decided to do something, that is completely just, I can't even wrap my head around
it. It's crazy. They have to have permission from you at school to get an aspirin, but they could go have an abortion under this law. I mean, I agree with you completely, Kayla, and I appreciate you calling me this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me get to Tom here on line three. Tom, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning, Mark. I'm a vote no on this because this is why we need initiative petition reform. This is, we don't need to do this kind of thing with an amendment. And this is changing way too much. There's too many laws. Well, it's written unconstitutionally. It's too vague. It's not specific. It doesn't tell you what laws are going to be taken out because of this thing. There's no protections. And, you know, my wife and I, we've been married 51 years. We have 5 kids, 9 grandkids, and we do not want to give up any parents' rights at all. Zero.
Yeah.
Zip.
Well said. No. Tom, thank you for the phone call.
Welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm going to get to Melissa here on line four. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to address, you know, everyone talks about control, and women need to take control in the bedroom so they don't end up in an abortion room. They can go buy a box of condoms and carry it in their purse, and if their partner doesn't care enough to use it, then that partner doesn't care enough about the woman.
I do believe that people are using it as a form of birth control. Now, I understand there are exceptions to that. You think about rape and incest. I am unapologetically pro-life. I don't believe you punish the baby for someone else's wrongdoing. I think you punish the rapist, or, you know, and I know that's controversial to say. That's how I feel. So I agree that you, I'm tired of people, you know, making a mistake. And then the easy solution is, well, I can just go fix it. I'm going to get an abortion.
Right. And most, I hope most people don't want abortion to be used as a form of birth control. You know,
I think you're right.
Used to say they want it to be rare, and they're not saying that anymore.
No. Well, and they say it's safe, and it's absolutely not safe because it ends the life of the innocent baby.
Yeah.
Right.
Melissa, thank you for the phone call. Yeah, and you know, I think to her point there, people say they wanted it to be rare, and then I read the statistic the other day that since Roe ended, the number of abortions has actually risen to some extent because they're now using the pill to end the pregnancy instead of going to an abortion clinic.
Yep.
And they hand the pill out like candy without any warning sign, which is what caused the girl's death in Georgia.
Amber Thurman.
As to what the side effects can be.
I think that's the problem, is that people are turning to, for example, mifepristone, and they're taking this abortion pill in the bathroom and they're not sure what to expect. It's terrifying. It's extremely traumatic. And let me just say that too, because I understand people would think my stance is very far right. You know, people would probably label me as an extremist, but I own that because that's how I feel about this topic. That's how passionate I am. And this is coming from someone who used to be pro-abortion. Okay. I used to support this. I used to say men had no right to tell women what to do with their bodies. I was in that camp, and now it's hard for me to wrap my brain around that. This has gotten so out of control. And I made this point earlier, but it's not just about abortion. Even if for whatever reason you support abortion, there's so much more to Amendment 3 that relates to trans surgeries for minors, cutting off their genitals. That in and of itself should be enough for you to vote no.
Yeah, well, I agree. And it should, people's attention should be drawn to the fact that it redefines what a medical professional is. And that is something that you really need to pay attention to. If you go look it up for yourself, but it basically calls them a treating healthcare professional, not a doctor. A treating healthcare professional. They redefine what that is. And I think that's something that is going to be part of the wording of the Missouri Constitution if this passes.
Speaking of wording, language wording matters. Instead of saying the unborn, let's say preborn, right? Instead of saying someone is pro-choice, let's say they're pro-abortion. Let's change the narrative on this and speak truth to it. By the way, the point about the whole third trimester abortion to save the life of the mother, first of all, you should treat the mother. You don't go deliberately kill the baby. You try to save both, but you absolutely try to treat the mother. You do treat the mother, but you don't need to dismember the baby. And I mean that in a very literal way, because that's exactly what they do during an abortion. You deliver the baby. That is what you do. I do not understand anyone who thinks that you need to, the solution is just to automatically go in and murder that baby.
Let me get to Pam here, who's been holding on line five. Pam, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having this debate, and congratulations to Brian for doing such an excellent job. I want to point out that every single word in this amendment was specifically chosen, and they chose the word person instead of woman, which is, would have been an adult. They chose person instead of saying male or female. So this absolutely applies to sex change operations, and it will nullify any protection that the Missouri legislature has passed as far as clinic inspections and assistance for the women, parental consent. It says that anything that will interfere, deny, or restrict is going to be considered null. So it's going to immediately eliminate 60 laws that have been passed over the last 50 years to provide safety for women and children. This is unlimited, unrestricted abortion and sex change operation on minors without parental consent, and I urge the voters to vote no on Amendment 3.
Yeah, Pam, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate that. We're going to leave the phone lines open here, 314-241-9797. People reacting to the debate here from Brian Westbrook and Jeff Smith. We aired in the first half of the hour. That'll be up on demand if you want to listen to it on our website, on the podcast. You'll be able to go back and listen as well. It's worth listening. You need to listen to the other side to understand where they're coming from. When my friend Jeff Smith used the word tissue to describe the baby, it took all that I had in me not to jump in and say something at that point. But I promised I was going to let those two debate each other, and I didn't want to insert myself into it at that point. Hey, the phone lines are still open, 314-241-9797. We'll be back here in just a minute.
Speaking of ballot measures, I just wanted to point out, I'm in Illinois and in Madison County, and this year we have a ballot measure that says Madison County, Illinois secession and new state advisory question. A yes vote supports advising the Madison County Board to discuss with other boards in Illinois counties, excluding Cook County, the possibility of forming a new state to separate from Cook County. Now, I'll say that would be a yes vote for me to separate from Chicago. But I know it's a long shot, but hey, we can hope, right?
Yeah, that's from the comment line this morning. Who knew that was an option? I didn't know that was on the ballot over there. Oh, yeah, you could secede from Cook County and the crazies up there in Chicago? Absolutely. We've had the phone lines open here talking about the debate earlier between Jeff Smith and Brian Westbrook on Amendment 3, the abortion amendment. That's the best way I know to call it. I want to get to some of the people that have been holding here for a while. Megan on line one. Megan, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. I just want to say I'm lucky enough today to get to bring my kids. I'm a homeschool mom to go meet Josh Hawley today in O'Fallon. We're so excited. And he's going to talk about Amendment 3. But I wanted to see if you could recall, if you remember saying this, you and Andrew on the DGS got into a debate about abortion a few years ago. And you said something that I had never heard before, which was that that person on the DGS was okay with abortion up to the point where, as long as the baby was still in utero, that it was fine. And no matter how old the baby was, once that baby moved out of the woman's, the mother's body, then it was not okay. And I had never heard ever the argument, this was a few years ago, that someone would be okay with abortion at 9 months. And what's happened here is, as Tony Colombo would say, that slippery slope argument that people hate. we've gotten to the point now where we're actually debating a 9-month abortion in the state of Missouri, in the red state of Missouri. It's up for debate. And the thing is, slowly over time, because it becomes normal and because it becomes part of normal conversation and something that's progressive, we slowly start to give up those things by either not voting or even, you know, I'm going to vote for Trump to win, but he's not pro-life. He's not at all. You know, we've kind of come to this point where it's like, you have to make a decision. This is the point in your life where you have to teach your kids what's right, what's wrong, what's black and white. There's no gray here. This is life and death. And we've gotten to that point where it's like, wow, we're here now. And this is so important for our kids. And for me to take my kids to see Josh Hawley today, we're going to serve at church during election day. I want my kids to see this is important. This is huge. And this is life or death. And I just really implore parents who are young and listening to your show or Annie Fry in the afternoons, get your kids involved young. Teach them what's right and wrong young, and not when they're 18 and gone off to college and have learned, you know, right, what we don't want them
right
to learn.
No, absolutely. It's a great point, Megan, and I appreciate the phone call. I do remember having that debate with Andrew a long time ago. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I was also surprised by his reaction to that, for sure. Let me get to Jim here on line 3. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Mark, as you said many times before, it's the initiative petition process in Missouri that needs to be changed. And we've got these Republican rhino legislators who are afraid to do that because they're beholden to the teachers unions who want these easy pass bond issues. That's the problem. And they got to change this IP process.
Yeah, Jim, amen. I'm on board with that completely. Thank you for pointing it out. You know what I would support? Here's the constitutional amendment I would support, that no outside money could be donated to Missouri political campaigns.
Amen. You know, the most money I heard, actually, Brian Westbrook was pointing this out, that's coming in to support Amendment 3. Virginia, so D.C., California, Michael Bloomberg has apparently put in about $1 million. George Soros put in about $4.5 million in support of Amendment 3.
Yeah,
here in Missouri.
The money is pouring in from out of state. Now, if people want to raise it in state, but we can may have that argument. That's Missourians getting involved in the political process. Outside money should not influence what's going on in Missouri. And if this thing passes, that's the reason it'll pass, because they've spent tens of millions of dollars to lie to people in these slickly produced TV ads on Amendment 3. I honestly do. I do believe that's it. Let me get let me get to Perry. Perry, got about a minute left. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Mark. I just wanted to point out that the Amendment 3 also removes the requirement for annual inspections by the Missouri Department of Health and Safety, or, you know, whoever inspects surgery centers, so that if there's significant problems or life-threatening infections and things like that, you know, there's also reporting requirements, that would be removed with this amendment.
Wow.
So that puts everyone at risk.
Well, it explains why Planned Parenthood supports it so much, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Perry. I appreciate that. Thanks to everyone who called in today and gave us their thoughts on this. Obviously, we're going to continue to talk about Amendment 3 and, in our opinion, the negative impact this will have on the state of Missouri. And we'll continue to talk about the other amendments as well. If you're going to vote today, print out the voter guide. It's right on the website, 971talk.com. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.